We just bounce right on in there. Hey, good evening, everyone.
Exactly. Good evening, everyone. I am April with Diversity and Equity in
Education. And I'm Denise with Diversity, Equity, and Education.
Y'all see how she left me hanging. I'm like, are you going to say anything? And I
Yes,
guess the
yes, I
response was
am.
that to at some point, at some
At
point.
some point in time. Go ahead, April. You ready?
So as you all we can see, we are back. This is week three. We have been consistent now for what, 4 months?
2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I'm so proud of
January,
us.
February, March. Oh, we April. This is
April.
4 months, girls.
I'm so proud of us. I'm proud of us. Yeah. And also, we had a brand new platform. I can't even tell you the platform name, but we have left our last platform and we are now on this one. And we just had a little troubleshooting, but I think we're doing great.
Exactly. Please give her eyes because it's written in the top left-hand corner, the name of the new platform.
It's called Riverside. Oh, that's right. Correct. It's called. I don't do the technical work because I know if I hit a button or two or three, I will shut this whole thing down. And that's just not my role here. So my role is just to say that we're in a new platform. And hey, how you doing? April.
And once again, we're on a new platform, but we are still in partnership and forever grateful for Teacher for the Culture. And we know that that is promoted, ran by CEO, led by
The
Bianca
fantastic,
Kuzmis.
fabulous, amazing Bianca Goolsbee. That's right. Shout it out. Shout it out.
All right, so we know that we initially
Oh, did she freeze?
put
Oh, keep
that it
on
was
going.
going to be hosted
Hey, Bianca,
over
how you doing?
on
Well, and we want
diversity
to
and
thank you
equity
for
and
joining us
inclusion.
again. This is
But
Diversity and
what we
Equity and
noticed
Education.
is
It just
that
froze
we're
on the
still working
screen,
through the
as far
tech
as I can see
issues.
right here.
So in
But
order to
we're
be
going to
able to
continue
find this
on because I know
live,
she's going to pop
you have to
right
go
back in.
over to
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Teaching
Let's
for the
talk about
Culture.
some things that
So while
happened. I don't
one of
know
us is talking, the other is
Bianca
going
can
to
give her a
try and
shot.
go and connect
Get her back
us to
on.
these various pieces
But
of
we
getting
are here to talk
to
about have a
where
couple of
you we
topics
are
to
on the
discuss with you
live.
this evening.
And it appears that
And
there
I wonder if
is
it's
a
because Riverside
connection
realized that I
issue.
just forgot to call them. But it's okay. We're gonna go ahead and go for. There you go, April. You're back. You know you were frozen for a while.
I thought it was you.
No, it was not me. You were frozen. Again, like I said, it's tech difficulties. I was just kept putting in fillers to kill the time. Okay,
Okay,
basically
good.
what I was going, basically what I was going to start off with saying is that what we're gonna introduce, do a quick rundown of our topics for this evening, and then we'll go from there. We want to remind everybody, first of all, this is the fourth quarter, like in football, the fourth quarter. This is the end. I mean, teachers, I think we got is less than 30 days. It's now, I think it's 28 days. I don't know. I don't have to count down. Y'all got to count down. But this is the time when it really time to tighten up. I mean, tighten up on behaviors, tighten up on just academic wise. I mean, all these kids want to go on field trips and things like that, but they also need to follow, still adhere to the rules. And we're going to talk about that today, especially when it comes to our advocacy work and how you parents, we want to be partners with you in order to get this work done, but we also need, we're gonna look at two sides of it. That's one of the things that we're gonna focus on. We remind you about all the dates that are coming up in terms of, as we get to the end of the fourth quarter, we have conference nights, we have all the things that eighth graders have, that grad bash type thing, and their little field trips and things like that. So we're gonna talk all about that, and but being safe, and remember the way they act in school is how they act in public, and we want you to make sure that we will take everybody if they don't know how to act right. Let's just say that. Okay. But there's a lot of things that we want to talk about. But first of all, April, how's your month been? Talk to me about your month.
It's going. One thing about it is, you could definitely do your temperature checks on campuses and notice that, the kids are getting a little bit antsy. A lot of them are anxious about the upcoming assessment series of assessments, shall I add, that are getting ready to take place on many of our campuses. Some of the actual, not some, in most cases, your child should have at least taken the FAST writing assessment. And if they have not, that possibly meant that they were either absent or some reason or another they did not take the assessment. But I'm pretty sure makeup week it would be this week. So make sure that parents, these assessments are important. Do we all necessarily agree with the amount of assessing that occurs? Absolutely not. But like Janice always reminded me that we have to be able to identify progression or the lack thereof. Otherwise, what are we doing it for? So other than that, you know, I'm not in the classroom currently, but I do my part with making sure I offer tutoring during lunch for my math, for math students, for anything to be an actual, to be actual. So we all just have to do our part to make sure that our children are successful, to demonstrate any gains that they have, you know, acquired over this current school year. Because again, that's the purpose for school, demonstrating progression. So, and parents, I mean, you got to get them up on time, go to bed on time. You know, tardies, you know, they add up, stack up. It can destroy a child's day when they show up late and the testing has begun and they got to, I mean, it's just a lot. So do your part. Make sure that they're on time. We can't control the buses. That's not what we're talking about, because they have to hold the testing window if the buses are late. But when you're late, that's a totally different situation. How about you, Denise?
I agree with you. When it comes to especially getting to school on time, I, you know, there's a thing we're talking about, what the whole synergy was, okay, or is, and you have to keep on going back into it over and over and over again. So you can imagine if, you know, you have a first period class that is continuously, you have like a 7 or 8 kids that show up late every single day. You have to say to yourself, listen, hey, you know, that you're really cutting into the things that they need in the very beginning of the school. I mean, if you have some kids that you are, that always come late, that's one thing. Also, the other, on the other end of that is the kids who are constantly picked up early. So if you miss first period every day and then you miss the last period of class every day, you're missing two whole periods of instruction. So just keep that in mind, and especially when it comes to taking these tests, because remember, for a lot of eighth graders, this is the third opportunity for them to pass that PM three, progress monitoring three, to be able to pass it with the level 3 or level 4, which is what they need now, the state requirements. And so it's important that they understand that. Remember, it's a battery of tests that are coming. So it's not just going to be the progress monitoring test. You're going to have the EOC for science. You're going to have civics tests. You're going to have the ELA exam. That's the English language arts. You're going to have math. You're going to have algebra, or some of the, I think the algebra kids are some, are 8th grade algebras, or I think are exempt or something. I can't remember. I don't do math, so math is not my forte. But I'm just running through the battery of tests that the kids have. So it's going to be an exhausting period of time. That's a time when you're going to see a lot of those behaviors really come out, because again, it's spring, the weather getting hotter, and now you're testing them. People don't want to be inside when the weather getting warmer. You want to be in the streets. You want to hang out. So just keep, you know, help us by keeping your kids engaged with that. Also cut down on the amount of sweets and snacks and candies. Give them a lot more water. That brain needs to be, you know, juicy, as I say. Put that water in that brain, okay? We eat more, you know, grains and oats for cereal. Like, you know, feed them properly. They need to eat well so their brain can operate well. Because there's nothing worse than somebody who crashes completely down or shuts down within the first 5 minutes of the test. And we ain't even gone over instructions yet. And you know, you done, okay? So any thoughts on that, April?
No? You said it all.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the one of the big things we want your parents to be aware of. Okay. Also, speaking of which, I don't know about how it is at your school, April, but I know that with this particular week over at my school, we have conference night. I think the progress reports went out last week, and conference night is this Thursday, I believe. I will post it for y'all, those of you who know where I'm at, what we're doing over here at Young. Conference night. So please, this is not the time. Two pieces of advice to offer parents. This is not the time for you to decide to be hostile at this point in time. You've had three whole quarters to figure out what was going on with that child grade. You have access to Canvas. You have seen the grades put in. We know all year long. You can look at the news reports that Synergy has given the school. The synergy has been hell. I would tell you to trust Canvas because, again, I put grades in. I try to sync it. And I was like, how is this even possible? When I literally did what they told me to do and, you know, not click on the entire thing, click just the assignments that were in there, ran that thing, and that thing was still off. So, again, just stick with Canvas. Understand teachers want to work with you. You know, we want what's just like you said, your best from home. We want to give you back the best. We want to make sure that your child has the best education, that your child has great outcomes in their tests. And so if you constantly fight the teacher, how is it best in the best interest of the child? That's all we ask you to understand. You know, remember, how difficult is it for a teacher to instruct when the parent has told that child, don't listen to what the teacher said? If the school rules are, you can't leave the classroom in the first 10 minutes or the last 10 minutes, because that's the bell work time, the seat work time. The last 10 is your, you know, exit ticket, you know, whatever your assessment period like that. And that child looked you up and said, my mama said I could go to the bathroom whenever I want and walk out the class. That is, how are you helping us to teach that child that there are such things as rules? Not just in school, but in life. So again, we don't want to fight you. We want you to understand that that's how life works. Because this year was a doozy to the point where I said, I'm going to go on to the house, because there's just people who just refuse to let you teach. And if you're not going to let me teach. I couldn't have said it better. April, your thoughts?
So I will say this, because you dropped down a different, you sped to the other topic. I was like, well,
oh, I'm so sorry. I went straight to primary sports at that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So in alignment with what Denise is saying, I will say this for my two cents. There are various perspectives when you're looking at what she's referencing. Like she said, when you send your child to school, we know for a fact that you're sending your 100% best of a child that you have given to us. Because remember, we just met this child. We just met him. I've known these children that's currently in the sixth grade for, here we go, September, October, November, December, January. Wait, December. August. Because that's how I be feeling, because y'all act like we knew them forever. Okay. Remember, we only get to know these kids for 10 months and then they're on their way. So if we only have 1 month left, that means I've known your child for the most part, eight and a half months, technically, you know, with all the dates that's out and blah, 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 and the storms, by eight and a half months. And with that being said, you have to be mindful that I have to pour into what you sent me. Now, if you sent me only 25% of what a child needs to know, and I ain't even talk about academics, I'm talking about behavior-wise. That means I got to try to at least give them another 50% so they could demonstrate some success in the classroom and overall on the campus. So what do you mean? For example, if a child comes to me and everything they respond to me is, yeah, no, no, I'm not doing that, da, 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 all of that, that means somewhere along the line, someone did not give them the necessary tools in order to be successful communicating in the classroom with an adult teacher, any staff member, in efforts for them to perform their best behavior-wise, which aligns with academics. So therefore, I have to constantly remind them first 30 days or up to even some 90, and then for some all year, of what the expectation is. Now, when they go from elementary to middle, that's challenging. Why? Because they're not getting it from one person telling them all, you know, one teacher, and maybe even two they may have in elementary. And if it's specials, three or four. We'll go with that. But when they get to middle school, it's six or seven. And then add all the administrators. Keep adding it. Custodial staff. Mm-hmm. Cafeteria staff. So now that's a lot going on. But again, in most cases, all the adults are trying to invest into your child in efforts for them to be able to do well behavior-wise, which align with academics. Now look at that from a perspective of teacher. Mm-hmm. We want the behavior to line up so that it could go into academics.
So imagine, that leads us to, and I wish I'm seeing April as frozen, but stay. That leads us to a letter that I love to use all the time, with letter C, which is
deals. Why am I freezing?
Meaning that we need to have some kind of calibration, not only between elementary school and middle school and then on to high school, but we also need to be able to say within the school itself, are all these teachers, I'm trying to make sure I'm not jumping too far ahead, because we're still talking about discipline and we're still talking about the calibration of discipline, right? That now that the child is now in middle school, coming from the parent home, coming from elementary, and now into middle school, you have all these different people talking to them, that everybody's on the same boat, or try, so at least we're floating on the same boat in the same river, okay, headed toward the same ocean, okay? So understand, parents, we, and this is where it's really important, and as instructors, here's what I'm going to say where it's really important. We cannot have a parent tell the administration what they're going to do in terms of the discipline for their child if it doesn't follow a particular code or a particular, what's the word we're looking for, the code of conduct. I think that the code of conduct needs to be so easy for parents to understand, or so readily accessible that parents will realize we're not challenging you. We're not making you, we're not angry with you. We just want you to understand that these are the established rules in the school and that everyone also understands how we're supposed to be run. And I hope, April, that you're able to get through, that you can hear that part.
Am I frozen again? I'm good.
I just want to know if you heard the last thing I said.
I heard everything you said. So I don't know why that's doing that, because nothing has changed besides where I'm sitting at in the living room from where I've normally been sitting at, excuse me, for the past, anyway. So I will say this, you are correct. The student code of conduct is what houses everything that you need to know in reference to your child's overall existence on a public school campus here in Hillsborough County. That is almost like your manual, your guide, your Bible to knowing what it is that is the overall expectation for your child at a Hillsborough County Public School. But that also houses parents' rights, students' rights, expectations for teachers, so on and so forth. I don't have a copy in front of me, but it houses everything. So a lot of times when we are in belief that things are just being, you know, pulled out of the air as it relates to what the expectation is for students, it's not. It's written in the student code of conduct. The student code of conduct has a lot of things that's not student code of conduct stuff, but that's where it's housed at. It just should be referred to as the student handbook. I don't know why we got into the code of conduct specifics, but because it houses way more than that. And in alignment with what Denise is saying, it's not made up. You don't have to guess. It's right there in black and white, which goes back to those different perspectives of how things are viewed and the necessity for calibration. And it might sound like we're jumping all around, but it's kind of hard to explain when you're not in it. That's what I'm finding right now, the challenge for me. It's hard to explain because to individuals that are not in it, and meaning for parents. So, and then it's even sometimes even more challenging when you're in it, and knowing when people that are also in it, colleagues that don't work at your same school site, that are doing things that are not aligned with the student code of conduct. So, for example, y'all know how I am. I just share my experiences. I have four boys and a goddaughter that attends various schools here in Hillsborough County. And we're not going to get into all the cousins, nephews, you know, it's a whole bunch of those. You know, when I get those sporadic calls to say, hey, can you check this, looking at this, what I do about this. But those five, I have direct communication, alignment, know what's going on a day-to-day basis. You got four high school, one elementary, all the way from in the collegial program, all the way down to traditional school setting, not magnet or anything. And you know what's so troubling to me for the most part is that at every school site, there is no consistency across the board when it comes to what the overall disciplinary plan that's created specific for a school. Yes, we understand that there are going to be variations in demographics. We're not talking about that. The consistency we're looking for is when it comes to, number one, the calibration or the lack thereof. Number two, when it comes to one child receives this, but another child receives that. when it comes to consequences. What's another indicator that I would say?
I mean, things like school uniform. I mean, or like say, for example, a child, because a lot of things that at my school, parents, the what they know the code of conduct is all about is about what they wear. You know, or just the pants too short, the skirt too short. They, you know, they know that, you know, of things that, you know, in terms of how they act towards teachers, behavior, you know, if the child brings contraband substances on campus, things like that. That's all that falls under a student handbook, you could say.
So with that being said, then it leads to inconsistencies across the board. So we know that there are going to be variations of, you know, disciplinary needs at different schools, but it still got to be calibrated to a place to where if one administrator is looking at it and another administrator looking at it, the outcome should be the same based upon the consequence, unless that child has a behavior plan. ESE that's aligned with something as it relates to behavior. ESE is a whole different conversation that will take up the entire time. So if you want to know more about that, you're more than welcome to send your questions to us on the website. And no, well, you could at sunshineeducationcoalition.org. You still can put it there when it comes to the advocacy work. But then there's also times when educators don't find themselves being very professional when parents are having conversations around variations of things when it comes to this same student code of conduct type information. And then as a result, it leads to retaliation towards children. Now, I will say this. It'll be one thing if I seen it at one school. It'll be another thing if I seen it at another. And it was very, you know, very isolated. It happens even at the collegial setting. It has happened all the way down to the elementary setting. I've seen it happen. And the question become, why? Why is that happening? And I would hate to say my reason as to think to why, but there's one common trait in all of it. One common trait. And that common trait was me having a question, me having an expectation, me being an advocate for my child. That was it. So when you question the educators, it becomes personal. This ain't personal.
I just want to know why.
Yes. So I can help my kid. And if you're following what my kid needs in order to be successful, and if not, I have a right to ask why and what are we going to do different. But be careful with them targets because all of us could know how to create one. I'm done.
I mean, we have a yes, the thing we when you inquire, it's important to inquire about what you want for your child, and the teacher should be open to saying, okay, this is what needs to happen, or this is what needs to happen. So all of that communication is vital. Is the communication you should be welcoming to the communication, especially if it's done in a positive manner. It's not, you know, hostile or everything. When you make it a hostile, but as a teacher, when teacher make it hostile, then it becomes even worse. Don't make that situation like that. Just, hey, a parent wants to know something. To me, I would say, hey, I'm so happy this parent does want to know what's going on. Here, let me give you the information about what's happening. Here, do you know how to get to the grades in campus? Hey, let me show you how to do this. Do you know, hey, yesterday he was doing this and he did that, but I'm glad we talking about it. So can you help me? Or what I like to lead with is, how do you handle this in your home when he or she does this? That opens up a great way, a way of conversation, because now you really pull the parent in and say, hey, you know, if this is what he does over here. What do you do when it happens over there by you? Okay. And all of a sudden, now we talking, now we engage. Now we can work together as a team to try to help this child do better, both academically and in their social skills at school. Okay, so again, no one wakes up in the morning and says, I am going to just destroy this child over here. Okay, or sometimes we know kids are still developing in their emotions, right? Their ability to process and speak properly or display or explain what's happening to them. So a lot of times kids will come there, you gotta work it out. You gotta figure out, okay, he's not really angry, he's just hungry. Okay, he's not really, you know, upset about what's happening in the class. His little girlfriend broke up with him yesterday. Okay, somebody said we call them wicks in Spanish Street on his head. I mean, so just something. We know it's something else, but get to the root of it and then try to work with the child and also then turn in turn work with the parent. Because parents, we want to work with you. I can't stress this enough. It is not a fight. It is not a battle. It is not something to where because remember, especially if you stay in the same school for several years, we're going to see several of your children. You know, it's amazing to me. I have had, it's so funny. I'm just giving my personal story. I had four kids I taught. The two oldest ones came through, not a problem under the sun. So I never saw the parent. Ever saw the parent, because the parent didn't have a reason to. Children got A's or B's, right? They conference night, they just slide on by. They'd be like, man, you passed the teacher class. I need to come by here. Okay, cool. By the time I got to the third one, I don't know where this child came from. I don't know. That mean, the only how I knew you were related to them is they actually had the same last name. They looked alike. Okay. But I mean, it was like, where in the world did you come from? And so he would go and tell his parent, oh, she did, she that. And the parent did not even realize that I was the same teacher. So they were coming 38 hot, okay? But when they came, the blessing that I had was that they came with one of the kids I taught like 2-3 years earlier. And they were so happy to see me. Oh, my favorite teacher. And they were like, this your favorite teacher. This ain't the one that did it. And they were like, I don't know, he lied. Mama, you know he lied. You know he just failed and that he don't like her and that's the reason why. That if the parent themselves, you could actually see the smoke rising from their brain, like the mental reworking that they had to do to realize, oh my God, this is the teacher that sent home all these good reports. This is the teacher that told me how much they loved you being in class. Yes, it's the same one that have a problem with your third child. Now that third child will say that I come from the pit of hell. I'm the depth of the demon because I made him rewrite a sentence twice. I came from the whatever. I was in the valley of the shadow of death. That's me right there. So parents realize, remember, we've been teaching 20 plus years. So we're going to see some of the same kids from the same parents come through over and over again. Pay attention to the fact that, you know, build the relationship. Look and see. I've taught parents and their children. That's how long I've been in this. Okay. So when you continue to build a relationship, you begin to realize, oh, you know what? The teacher really does want what's best for me. They want what's best for my child. They do want this. Now, okay, I ain't going to say there's the outliers who just can't handle the kids, but we want what's best for the child. April, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just tickled behind it because you're so accurate that, you know, when you have, and I'm still always perplexed on how that happens. Because remember, I always share the story that when I was over at Adams and switched over to Jennings, and lo and behold, when I moved over there a year later, a child that I had taught over at Adams, one of their siblings still ended up in my class. And I'm like, how does that happen? But there's some type of correlation with that, how you end up with the siblings. We don't know what it is because it can't be last name because they don't always have the same last name. So we don't know how they track them, but there's something with that. But anyway, I share the same. I agree with you that some of them kids, look, them parents need to realize too, maybe you were home more yes. invested in that child's education, or maybe it was more important in elementary, because for some reason or another, when they leave elementary, there's this big misconception that they need you less. No, they need you more, a lot more, because there are more influences on a campus. There are more influences in a classroom. They are still trying to develop what it is that their overall identity is, trying to pull from different categories, different traits from different people in order to makeshift, create their own values and, you know, forward thinking in life. We know we want them to take majority from us, but that's not how it works. Unfortunately, that's the foundation that was put in place, but it is what it is. In today's society, how much they have access to so much, they need just so much more. So again, remember, parents, it don't have to be the old antiquated way of doing things with parent conferences. COVID taught us that we could pick up a phone, We could do video chat. We do it all the time. We definitely see us, a lot of us, raise hell on a day-to-day basis, arguing back and forth on social media posts with people we don't even know or care less about.
Yes.
Some even people even lose their life behind it, going to follow and search for people to carry out their demonstration of lack of emotional intelligence. But again, that's a whole another topic as well. But we definitely, yep, look forward. Mm-hmm. We definitely need to be more intentional about a quick text, a quick phone call, a quick video. Let me not say this, because I've had several teachers avoid me on numerous occasions after, they don't want to talk, they don't want to meet. But anyway, I will say this for me and my circles of educators. We welcome you at any time to let's come and have the conversation and be inclusive on the key thing there is that we all want what's best for that child. That's what I would say.
I absolutely agree. This is why I watch it. I'm gonna go back to that point that you made earlier about these rosters and how long we know these children, right? You truly understand something. If I just met, I need you to understand what we mean when they say growth and gains. They want us to make these gains in this 10 calendar month school year, right? 10 month calendar school year. Okay. I just met your child in August. That child, let's just pick a random kid from my lowest level class. Okay. 13 years old in the 7th grade that reads on a 3rd grade reading level. Okay.
I need you to let people process that. Process that. 13.
13. You're in seventh grade.
Third grade reading level.
Okay.
Let me say this real quick. I want to know how did they go through 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, and now sitting in a 7th grade class, and now you want Miss Denise Papillon to fix it.
To get them to, because remember, now I got to get you to the 8th grade reading level, because this is your 7th grade year. I'm supposed to take you from the Lexile where you down here somewhere in the 100 or 200s all the way to a 900, 1,000 Lexile level, because you need to be somewhere near reading level. And you come to school 3 days a week. And yet when you do show up, your behavior is atrocious. That's a new vocabulary word if you don't know it. So
hold on, Denise.
I want you to
why would that child's behavior be atrocious though? Why do you think that child's behavior would be atrocious?
First of all, they can't process. They can't decode. They can't process. They don't understand anything. Everything that's put in front of that child is 4 grade levels above their reading level. So if they could probably pick up an elementary school book and feel successful, but you're talking about 7th grade science, 7th grade civics, 7th grade mathematics, 7th grade, you know, even the PE stuff is the. So you now I can't. I'm going through school every day as frustrated as probably. In fact, I'm sorry,
that's
I can't even compare it to the ELL kids because from my perspective right now, just talking about the student, right? Imagine that student just knowing that he have no success, because even the ELL students have some kind of help and they lean on each other to learn English. So they at least try to struggle through their day and like, okay, all right, I think I got it. Plus they have the ability to use the laptops and their phone, or if they can, to translate. So at least they on reading level, but they just don't read in English. Okay. But at least they can make it through the day. This is a kid born and raised in the United States, got to 13 years old and don't have a clue of what's going on around it. Oh, and of course, all the other kids clown him if he try to practice something, even if he try to read. He will tear that classroom up, will tear it up every day because he just don't want you to teach. Because I know I can't learn. So if I can't learn, I don't want nobody else in this class to learn. I want everybody to be just as dumb as me. And I hate to say it like that, but I mean, meaning that I know that I can't do it. So I want to make sure that everybody here, it thinks it's funny, thinks it's good, thinks we just gonna have a good time in class. We're gonna tear it up. We're gonna always ask questions that have nothing to do with the topic, because we want to stay off topic. We want to complain, or we want to talk about your clothes, the teacher clothes, their hair, what they wear in the day, or this. You everywhere else, but the fact that we're supposed to be reading, listen to this, a address to the nation, addressed to Congress by Lyndon B. Johnson after the assassination of Robert Kennedy, of JFK. That's the text that we read it. Now, you know what I just, go back to what I just said. Go back to what I just said. We're reading a speech from Lyndon Johnson to the Congress. That's the reading level you're supposed to be at. Ain't no way in the world a person who's on third grade reading level is going to even begin to even understand the background of why we have to read this text. What does assassination even mean?
You well, got to know the background. Now, hold on, Maggie. They might know what assassination means now. They got so many Minecraft and
what's your truth?
Look, they know that word, but I want to go back to the anchor in it that you said that's the most important. They're doing all of this out of frustration.
Yes.
And imagine if there are more than one child in a classroom like that. Ooh. That demonstrate that same level of frustration. And then there's only one of us in the room.
One teacher.
So now what? Now what? What do you do?
Now when the teacher flip out and get mad, I want to say it just like this. I'm looking at the camera because I really want to say it like that. How dare an administrator tell you to calm down? How dare you? You put 30 people in that classroom. You knew what they were all about. You refused to give any help. You did that. You don't have the right to say a thing to me unless you bring in your inside this classroom and help me. If you're not going to do that, close your mouth. Let me calm down. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Shut up.
My blood pressure get high.
And that's another thing. Send the help or don't help me at all.
At all.
Send the help.
Or say nothing.
Send the help. Or come in and try to identify how we could be collaborators and develop a solution. Because stacking more and more in a classroom that have those high number of deficits only bring about frustration for not only the child, then the children, then the whole class, then the teacher.
And it
because
right
I always ask, how did you arrive here with that many levels of deficits and that many grade levels behind? I always ask that. Then it makes me get even more frustrated when it becomes, but you got to bring them up the level. Well, why y'all weren't talking to the people that had them before? What they was allowed to do?
And again, I mean, as much as we know, parents. I never forget the year I showed a parent their child's handwriting. And they were like, who wrote this? Your child wrote this. How are you not aware of how poorly your child reads and writes? You just give them all this crap. You just give them a phone. Give them a laptop. Give them this. Give them that. And you don't know that this child can't even read? How dare you even ask the teacher to be, you making the teacher frustrated. It's like, don't you understand? You think to yourself, I'm going to drop this child off 6-7 hours a day. And remember, middle school is maybe they got 7 teachers, right? They're only spending time with one teacher, maybe 30 minutes, 35 minutes of actual instructional time. So do you really believe I'm going to take, they got to go to other teachers throughout the day. With my little 30 minutes a day, or for 35 minutes or 40 minutes a day, how much instruction they actually getting? They spend more time with you. You home with them? They came out your house. So again, send children to school that are prepared, that are armed with social skills, that know how to say please, thank you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, that know all about sharing. I mean, I hate to say it like this in middle school, but some of us don't know how to do any kind of share. I mean, do you realize there's more than one item in the classroom? You can share this right now and pass it on to the next person. You know? Or just basic skill. I mean, and first of all, let me tell you something. Last time I checked with my friend, and my friend checked with me. My name wasn't bro. The what?
That's the new thing. I be looking at them like, where do y'all get that from?
I don't even respond
everybody
to
bro. Everybody bro.
Bruh, I don't respond to people anymore. I literally will walk away from you until you realize that I have a name. Because I'm not giving you the satisfaction of calling me that. That's your little friend over there, your friend over there, your friend back there. I don't know who you're speaking to. Bro, I need a pencil. I'm looking to the left or right trying to figure out where bro is. Because it certainly ain't me. I'm not bro. So, again, send your child to school with some skills. Real skills that'll help them cope with adults and their peers. And fighting is the answer for everything.
Because if we work... If that is something that is a hyper focus on, you know, just for the kids to have those basic mannerisms, I'll say that, and those basic social skills to treat everyone, you know, with a respect level and, you know, allow for human error, that I think that you'll have classrooms with a lot more harmony and synergy, because right now everything is put out of fire. Everything is hit, kick, scratch, cuss, clown, cuss, throw. I mean, it's all of that. And a lot of that is in reactionary from other youth because they're in survival mode too.
Right. Everybody fight. Everybody fight.
Everybody get a fight.
We all fight to live. We fight to live. I mean, I saw two kids just getting a fight because one of them, they came from breakfast. The other one didn't have breakfast. He brought his breakfast into class. He snatched his juice. He said, and you know, word, you can insert that word there. That's my juice. I was like, look.
And I want it back now.
Right. And the kid in the back of the class, which I always know how to set it off every time, he said, it's about to go down. I was like, this was my ID. Let me just press this damn button. I just can't press the button. How many times I got to press this? Is somebody coming? Because you know I don't break my nails or mess up my hair for nothing. Press the button. Press the button. Miss, you going to do something? I'm doing something. I'm pressing the damn button.
Oh, my God. I'm pressing the button.
I told her I don't mess up my hair and nails for nothing. These nails cost. But anyway, what we try to say is, parents, just send the kids with the skills we need, okay? With the skills, you know, just send them. Because, like I said, some kids, they just misunderstood. They're going through a lot of things in their own personal life. So, again, now this leads us back to these resources. Listen, y'all want to do some cutting. They want to cut. What's the name of the song? Cut it.
Cut it.
Cut it.
Cut it.
Cut it. Cut it. Bow. Cut it. Boom. But guess what? We don't need you to cut nothing.
These grades is way too hard. We need to cut it.
Cut it.
These behaviors are too bad. We need to cut it.
You need to cut it.
Cut it. Cut it.
This class is way too big. You need to cut it. Okay. But look, I'm just trying to tell you. Y'all want to cut and cut and cut. But have you, who was it that asked a great question this week on social media? We all commented on her post. Was it Jessica? I think it was. Who said?
It was Jessica Vaughn.
Yeah, it was Jessica Vaughn, right?
Let me go find it.
So yeah, there was a great post she posted this week. And I got to say, I even chimed in as well on it. And I'm just like, you know, these people who trying to do all these cuts and things like that, you need to go ahead and walk on through these schools. Walk through these schools and see what kind of things that the schools actually need. I mean, you want to slice this and slice this and slice that, but we missing resources, aids. We need additional people to come in here and help. Because if you want to give us 30 kids in a class, you need to send two teachers per. You know, you need a teacher and an aide. You got to have somebody who, like, okay, we had a conversation where we talked about when are you going to create some kind of space, mediation space for when kids do get in trouble and they come back to school, they come right back in the classroom. They need a timeout space. They need a space where they could truly do some social emotional reconstructive behavior prior to reinserting them back into the classroom, maybe. And that has to be a fully staffed position. That has to be somebody who in there saying, I'm going to do this full time. It ain't like, okay, well, I'm going to ISS. Well, ISS teacher ain't here. Okay, I might have to go there. This person ain't here. You need to have somebody in there to where that is an actual position. Resources. We read about it all up north. Timeout rooms, meditation rooms. What do they call them? They call them there's a word for them, but
they call them wellness rooms.
Wellness room, okay. Mm-hmm. And they have the lights and they have the yoga, like I did with the other day with my girls in my club, where we had the whole dark room with the galaxy lights and the yoga mat, and they practice deep breathing. And it's like sometimes these kids just need a minute. One kid literally told me, "Oh, I come to school because I know at home it's 8 people in there, and I know I can actually go to a place where it's just quiet. That's why I go to the library, because it's quiet." My house got 8 people in it, and we in a 2-bedroom apartment.
Jesus.
Do you not realize why some people just need, just instead of, and when they fight, now they fight, they go home to them 8 people, they come back to school, they back in a craziness again. They had no time to just take a minute and decompress. Decompress.
Because even a bus ride.
Take a breath. Yeah, even the bus ride is packed. Crazy. Cafeteria packed full of people. I mean, can I just get a moment? One person told me, he said, I see the future with these kids because they don't want to have no kids. All these, just in case you had a conversation with your children, they tell you they have no kids, right? This one child told me their only goal in life is to get a place where they live by themselves. That's their only goal. They don't care if they work McDonald's, Starbucks. They don't care. They just want an apartment to where they live by themselves. I said, not even a dog? She said, hell, not even a cat. Not a tweet tweet bird, none of that. They don't want nothing. They want to live by themselves. That's their goal.
Damn. Oh my God. Let me read this. It says, "Dear Hillsborough County Public School District leaders, before making any decisions regarding the school's earned unit allocation for teachers, administrative specials, or support staff, you should be required to visit that school in person. Speak with the staff, learn about their challenges, and understand the needs of the students and community they serve before you take away things they haven't earned. And if you don't even know the name of the school's principals, you have absolutely no business making decisions that directly impact their school. As public education is hit with deeper and deeper budget cuts, we are being forced to make incredible, difficult, and painful choices. But even in the face of these challenges, we must lead with compassion and integrity. Standing up for educators on the front lines and showing them without question that we see them, we value them, and we are deeply grateful for the sacrifices they make every single day to shape the future of our students." And with that being said, there is rumor, and I don't know the validity of it, that one of the career centers is closing this year.
I heard it was Bowers Whitley.
And why would that be? I thought we weren't closing it. Okay, but right. Wait a minute.
This is what I heard now.
Hold on. But wait a minute, though. Why are we concerned with the low enrollment of it now? Because when D.W. Waters was in place, it was low numbers then. That was the expectation. Smaller numbers for the schools the students could have bigger success because of their current lack of progression in their current high schools, right? And middle schools. So therefore, it was clear that the bigger classrooms weren't working for them, right? Am I wrong?
Right.
And then you took programs from D.W. Waters and you spread them out all throughout the district. How did you take a small program and take programs from it and put it at other schools and then think it was going to get smaller?
Huh.
So we're going to have another empty building for what?
I do not know. These are things through the rumor mill. I was hearing the restructuring of the host programs, and I'm hearing about the closing of certain schools, and of course the multi-million-dollar school they're going to build over there, closer to the Channel side, the Water Street, for I said the wrong thing. Basically what a project
that's in that area. That's in that area.
In the area, okay. So it's just like what are we doing is the question. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I just need to know,
what are we doing? I mean, I thought the goal was to help with student success, you know, and the fact that they're right. Okay, I don't know. I honestly do not know, because I want to see what the end result of this is. I mean, we came from these career, the CTE schools, the career technical education schools, where you're going to see, those kids need those things. They need the skills, the skill base. People don't seem to understand. If we not, this is the route that's going. Technology is taking a lot of jobs away. Okay. So we need to have these kids who are doing all these different skill-based jobs. But what are we doing? What are we doing?
And that goes back to, I want to go back a little bit. So, you know, one of my grandchildren was a student at Just. And when they closed down Just, that whole uproar about the kids will be able to attend the schools, in most cases that the parents kind of, you know, wanted them to attend. So I did not know, because, you know, I if the parent don't say nothing, because it's my son's child, if they don't say anything, I don't know all the fine details of what kind of has occurred on the back end. But they went to the kids at Just for that area. They ended up going over to, I want to say the school was Booker T. Washington. Yes, they ended up sending them to Booker T. Washington. But then this year, they sent them to a whole nother school. And it was not a choice. They had to go to the other school. But I want to point out that from where they live at, Dunbar is less than 5 minutes away. And I said, well, wait a minute. I maybe I'm wrong. Did I not remember that when all of this was going on, it was stated that the kids that live in a direct area would have the opportunity to go to Dunbar? Dunbar is a magnet school. It's gated all up to where they are, you know. It's decorated very nicely. And I'm just now learning of this. I'm like, wait a minute. So you took the child from, closed the school that they were familiar with, moved them to a school where they felt displaced, and then we moved them again because, and that's where I'm stuck. Why weren't they allowed to stay at the former school?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but then the school that the parent want the child to go to, which is less than 5 minutes away, that's not an option. So I need to find out how many of the neighborhood kids actually get to go to the school, especially those that were displaced because they had no decision making when it came to being, you know, the school being closed. But now mom and, you know, it's a challenge for them to be able to parent conferences, you know, various things because they're moved further out away from the community and, you know, from support, family members to be able to assist. So that's not making any sense to me, but you know, I will have questions. And that goes back to that advocacy piece. Individuals that are in places or positions that have power don't take advocacy or questions being as a negative. We just want answers and it has to make sense because remember, our ultimate goal is to prepare students for life. That's our mission and vision anchors. So I want to make sure that that includes children that look, you know, have my bloodline in it. You know, I'm just saying.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. And on that note, we're going to wrap this up by talking about the East Tampa Brain Booster Summer Camp. April, take it away.
So the East Tampa Brain Booster Summer Camp launches on June 9th. With the actual parent student open orientation would be on June 7th. It's mandatory. As of right now, we only have 6 spaces available. They went really fast. And please note, we didn't advertise a lot because a lot of our previous attendees, they already know. And we will say this, our camp is very structured. Our camp have expectations. We build in organization skills. We build in future skills that is necessary to be successful in the classroom. We have academics. We have mental health. The mental health component is so off the chain.
It's so good.
There's no camp in the Tampa Bay area that does this. No, we know for a fact. And we have weekly experiential learning field trips that occur. And again, the key thing is, attendance is a must. On time is a must. Behaviors are a must. If all 3 of those components are in alignment, your child will have a successful summer at the East Tampa Brain Booster Summer Camp. So if you're interested, you can find that information on my page, Denise's page, and on those two pages. Because we didn't put it on the other public pages because it's public to a certain degree.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yeah, but, you know, we just want to make sure that, oh, there it is.
There's the job form. So
with that being said, there are some restrictions, and that those main restrictions are you must reside in one of the zip codes that are considered our high needs zip codes. So again, the information is on the screen. Please check it out. And again, there are only 6 spaces available, and we do not go above our numbers because we want to make sure that our camp remain in the boutique style so we can provide personal camp experience for our attendees. And we're excited.
Yep. Super excited. And that's pretty much it. Hey, listen, we are so grateful and thankful that you joined us this week, this month, and we are staying faithful to our commitment. I'm telling you, we in what, the 4th month of the year? What, is it for real?
Yeah.
We're doing great. All right. Well, listen, we want to thank again, give a great big fat shout out to Bianca Goolsby and Riverside for our new platform. So we thank you for your patience and your time. And guess what? You all have a wonderful night. Anything else, April?
Bye.
Bye.